live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Good Friday morning, everyone. Michelle Mortensen here with you today. And what a big show we're going to have for you. So rumor has it, we are going to hear from the president for the first time in months in just a little bit. And we will do our best to try to bring you some highlights of that when the president does speak to the nation and does his first press conference in quite some time. I do believe it's going to be election related. But there was so much going on in the world of COVID. There is so much going on with the vaccines. This is one of those days where by tomorrow we could have a vaccine on the market for COVID. What does that mean for you? A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be speaking with a vaccine expert to tell us whether we really need this vaccine, whether we don't need this vaccine. Will it be mandated? What does that mean for everyone? That's a big discussion we're going to get to in a little bit. But first, I want to pose a question to you. And if you're watching right now, if you're listening on KSHP, call this number, 702-221-7283, because I want to hear from you directly. And the question I have for you today is, how much of your freedom are you willing to give up? How much of your freedom are you willing to just get rid of? It's an important question because every single day it appears we're losing more and more of our freedoms. Every single day, it appears that we're being told, guess what? Now you can't do this. I mean, heck, the CDC says, don't do Thanksgiving. Don't meet with your family. God forbid you choose to do something like that. God forbid you choose to meet with your family. Because how awful would you feel if you had Thanksgiving and then grandma died? What type of guilt trip is that? What kind of life is grandma having right now that she can't see any of her family? And who is it for the government or the CDC or anyone to tell you who you can see, who you can't see, if you celebrate a holiday, if you don't celebrate a holiday? How come more Americans don't see the slippery slope? How come it's only conservatives who are raising up their hands and saying, how now, brown cow? We're taking this a step too far. A step too far. Everyone says, oh, well, it's our duty. It's our duty. It's our duty. We have to do this for public health. No, you don't have to do it for public health. No one said it's your job to protect me. No one says it's the government's job to protect me. The government is there to govern. The government is there to legislate. The government is not there to protect you. You don't have a right. The government does not have a right to tell us how to live our lives and what to do. They literally do not have a constitutional right to tell you to wear a mask. They do not have a constitutional right to tell you to get a vaccine. They do not have a constitutional right to tell you you can't have Thanksgiving. And my goodness, they do not have a constitutional right to tell you that if you do have Thanksgiving, we're going to throw you in jail for 30 days and fine you $1,250 like the governor of Oregon has said. And speaking of governors, what the heck is up with these governors? Let's talk about Newsom first, shall we? Oh my God, the hypocrite in chief who says, let them eat cake. He sits there and says, people can't go to restaurants. He now just issued a curfew for the state of California. You can't go out past 10 p.m. But none of these rules apply to him. Not a one. He can go hang out at the French Laundry restaurant in Napa. He doesn't have to wear a mask. He can do whatever the heck he wants. The mayor of Washington, D.C., she can travel when everyone else can't. She can travel to Delaware to go congratulate Joe Biden. Why? Because her travel is considered essential business. Huh. Interesting. Interesting. That's interesting. How come she's essential and nobody else is? Very, 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 very interesting indeed. In fact, how is it that the people of California can't travel and they can't go anywhere and their entire state is burning to the ground with wildfires, yet legislative representatives are going to Hawaii to live it up, to talk with lobbyists? How is that going on? How is that going on right now? Speaking of crazy governors, Cuomo. I'm going to show you a video of Cuomo in a moment. Cuomo has been telling everyone, he is such an egotistical maniac, that he sat there and he said, you know what, I'm going to write a book about the crisis of COVID, and I know what I'm talking about. I'm the expert on COVID. Cuomo sits there and says, you have to do what I say, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to come after you. Cuomo does the most Trump-esque move ever yesterday, and he literally berates a reporter. Now, doesn't everyone get all up in arms when Trump goes after the media? Doesn't everyone say that's so inappropriate? It's so rude. It's so horrible. It doesn't show discretion at all. Well, look at Cuomo, hypocrite in chief right here. Let's watch this video.
The other day you said, this is the city's decision. They have an agreement of 3%. Today you said, well, I might have to impose an orange zone and I might have to close the schools, which an orange zone does. So what's going on? Does the city still have the ability to close its schools? You now taking control and saying you have the power to make this decision. And for the millions of parents who want to know, are the schools going to open tomorrow in New York City?
All right. First of all, let's try not to be obnoxious and offensive.
What?
In your tone. Because you're 100% wrong. We announced the Orange Zone law over a month ago. I don't know if you were here or if you were paying attention, but that has been in effect for over a month. It always said, if by the state's numbers you hit 3%, the schools close. What's going on here is nothing that the law hasn't said for over a month. We then had the test out procedures. If you were paying attention, you would have known we closed the schools in New York City 2 weeks ago. Remember when we did an orange zone and a red zone in Brooklyn and Queens, and we closed the schools? Don't you remember that?
It was 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're now going to override. We did it already. That's the law, an orange zone and a red zone. Follow the facts.
I'm still confused.
Well, then you're confused.
I'm confused. And
then I'll tell you what you mean.
Parents are still confused as well. The schools in
New York
City
confused. You're confused.
No, I think parents are very confused as well.
Read the law, and you won't be confused.
But Governor, to follow Jim's question, are the schools going to be open tomorrow?
The schools are open by state law.
But will they be open tomorrow? That's the question. I think Jimmy's correct in asking that question. I don't think it's obnoxious at all.
Well, I don't really care what you think.
Okay, so here's my point. So he gets to call people obnoxious. He gets to say, I don't really care what you think. He gets to say, were you paying attention? I don't know if you were listening. He gets to do that. And everybody says that's perfectly all right. Nobody raises an eye. Nobody says, oh my gosh, that was a little out of control. No. This guy writes a book on his leadership for freaking COVID when he's the guy who put all those people in the nursing homes and is directly responsible for massive amount of casualties in the state of New York. Nobody from the media says boo about that. How is any of this right and fair? And here's the thing. Cuomo's sitting there acting like people are stupid. Like, oh, you're not paying attention. You haven't listened to me. You don't know what's going on. You're not following the science. Let me tell you, no one has been following the science. People are really arbitrarily following the science. When this little piece of science data follows what you want to believe, people go, look at the science, look at the numbers. And then another group sits there and says, well, look at the science, look at the numbers. Here's the craziest thing. On November 17th, an article came out that said immunity to COVID lasts only 3 to 5 months. The very next day on November 18th, an article came out that said your immunity to COVID lasts years. What the fudge, guys. How can you literally have two conflicting views come out on the same, within a day of each other, within 24 hours of each other? It is insane. There is so much more to discuss about all of this. And in the next block, we're going to talk about it all. If you can see here, we're doing the song Poison by Belle Div DeVoe. Why? Because some people wonder, is this vaccine that's potentially coming out, is it going to be like Poison? We don't really know. We're going to talk about it with an expert. Plus, we're going to see why cancel culture is coming for Rudolph. And when you hit your prime, we've got the exact number. So stay with us because we've got a lot more show to come up. Stick with us through the commercials. All right, my friends. And stay tuned.
Saving money on your car insurance is easy with the team at InsureWise. The agents at InsureWise can find you the best coverage at the lowest price, something the corporate guys just can't do. Great rates await on your car, home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. InsureWise, the only wise choice for all your insurance needs. Looking for a professional, honest, and knowledgeable realtor who will tell you the truth about the Las Vegas market? Then you need John Kennedy and the team at Home, a real estate company. With 16 years buying, selling, and managing properties all over the Las Vegas Valley, there's no one better to serve you. Give John a call today at 702-640-0101 and let him lead you home.
LadylikeClothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White-Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605. License number 179020.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show.
Want to learn to scuba dive? Need swimming lessons for your kids? Then you need to check out Stone Sports in Las Vegas, right off Fort Apache in Tropicana. At Stone Sports, they teach the young and the young at heart. Whether you're looking for fun, fitness, or competition, Stone Sports is the place for you and your entire family. Give them a call today at 702-779-3021, 702-779-3021, or check them out online at stonesports.net. Stone Sports, where water safety and water fun meet.
We can go if we want to. Night is young and so am I. And we can just build from a house to a peak that's a price.
A little bit of safety dance there. Remember when we could do what we wanted to do? Remember we could dance if we wanted to? We could listen to whoever this is? Men in Hats or something. I don't know. Safety Dance. That's the name of the song. I don't remember saying it. But remember when we had freedom? Yeah, we kind of don't have any of that anymore. We're losing it by the day during this COVID crisis. And it is very, very, very concerning. I think the other concerning thing is that we're hearing mixed messages every single day. Mixed messages about the science. Mixed messages about the data. Mixed messages about what we should and should not do. Mixed messages about hospitalizations. How are any of us going to know the truth? And why is there so much spin on facts? Facts shouldn't have spin related, should they? Here's some of the things that we're seeing right now. Of course, people are saying we are in a second wave now because there are so many people who are getting COVID-related illnesses. There's an estimate right now, an estimate, of course, because we don't know for sure, that 3 million people are currently carrying the novel coronavirus. This same article says many of them don't have a symptom. Many of them just don't even have a symptom. Is that because really the symptoms aren't that bad for many, many, many people? We're also seeing state cases go up and people are having heart attacks about this one. Vermont is one of the states with the largest increases. It's also one of the smallest populated states. So that's not that surprising. Louisiana seeing an increase. New Hampshire seeing an increase. Get this. Here in the state of Texas, it says Texas has 71,000 new positive tests, an increase of 25%, and that it has topped the case of 1 million COVID cases since the pandemic began. California, it has 54,000 new cases. Wisconsin has 48,000 new cases. Michigan, 46,000 new cases. Very, 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 very interesting things right there, right? And guess what everyone's saying? They're saying it's because Trump had campaign rallies. Trump having campaign rallies is the problem. There have been concerns that campaign rallies held by President Trump, held before the November 3rd election, were fueling the spikes of COVID-19 cases. A study from Stanford University reported that 18 Trump rallies between June 20th and September 22nd may have led to 30,000 COVID cases and 70,000 deaths, even though the researchers have noted that the cases weren't limited to people who attended rallies. Oh, yeah, because there were also all of those people who were going to protests. There were all of those people who were not wearing masks and were not following the science because they had some sort of obligation to fight for rights, fight for racial equality, fight for other concerns. That's when public health goes out the window. It's very, very, very confusing to me how these scientific experts are asking. One of the really dramatic shifts in tones that we saw from public health leaders about the relative danger of COVID in crowds happened a little bit earlier in the year when we saw a tweet from Jennifer Nuzzio, a PhD at Johns Hopkins. She said the following: "We should always evaluate the risks and benefits to control the virus. In this moment, the public health risk of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceeds the harm of the virus." So back then, protesting for the end of systemic racism was more important than the virus. And now, fast forward, you went to a Trump rally and you're the reason why the virus is spreading. That doesn't make any sense. Arthur Kaplan, an ethicist, was quoted as saying that lockdown protesters have a moral duty to forgo medical care in favor of those who followed the rules. Okay, that's very interesting. But at the same time, everyone is attacking anyone who does a Trump rally, anybody who went to a Trump campaign event, that God forbid they didn't wear a mask and they are spreading the problem. See, there is so many conflicting views. In fact, let's talk about hospitalizations for a minute, because of course, as you know, earlier in the week, I told you, Governor Sisolak came out and said hospitalization rates are through the roof and it's because of COVID. And then the Nevada Hospital Association came out and said, that's not actually true. True. Yes, capacity is immensely high and we are reaching too close to 100%, but it isn't because of COVID cases. Because of our over 6,000 beds, only 1,000 of those beds, 1,100 of those beds are actually filled with COVID cases. So why are the hospital beds so full? Well, if you look at history, since the 1980s, we have had a hospital bed shortage in this country. If you look at the history, in the November and December months, hospitals are often at 65% capacity or more. So why are we blaming everything on COVID? And then that begs the question about the vaccine, because of the course, the vaccines are going to be available before you know it. Pfizer announced today that they are going to be filing for their emergency use order, and people could be actually getting this vaccine within a few days. Within a few days, people could be getting this vaccine. And we're told ad nauseum that we absolutely have to have the vaccine, that if we don't have the vaccine, we're in trouble, that the vaccine is actually the best bet to herd immunity. Well, what do we really know about this vaccine? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't trust the FDA. I'm not saying don't trust, you know, scientists. I'm not saying any of that. What I am pointing out is the conflicting views. How on November 17th, a piece can come out that says your immunity to COVID may only last 3 to 5 months. And then the very next day, a study comes out that says, well, you know what? You know what? Your immunity to COVID could last 1 to 5 years. It doesn't make any sense at all. This is truly narrative, where we are seeing the narrative of this study says what I want to hear. So this news operation is going to give you that narrative. This study over here says what I believe in. So we're going to give you that. It is out of control. And this is the time more than ever that we need truth and transparency. So where do we get truth and transparency? That's a great question. That's why I have the next gentleman who's joining me now on the show, our guest, Dr. Sal Giorgiani. He is a senior science advisor to Men's Health Network. He is a post chair of the American Public Health Association, and he knows a great deal about vaccines. And he is joining us now. Dr. Sal, thank you so much for joining us. We do have a lot of questions about these vaccines. Number one, I guess, what do you believe is the vaccine the key to herd immunity, and should people get it? First and foremost, what's your opinion?
Well, there's two keys to herd immunity. Again, I must, before I even go on, I was listening to your introduction. You've certainly done your homework and scoped out a lot of the very, very important issues that we're all facing here. Onto this issue of herd immunity, there's two ways to get it. One, you can get active immunity. You've had the condition, and then you're immune for a certain period of time. We all see that in many other things, you know, and then the other is immunized. So you get a vaccination. So we already have a certain percentage of the population, not a big percentage, maybe 10, 11% of the population who have had COVID, and at least some percentage of that depends on how severe your disease was and how robust your immune system was, already have some level of immunity. And then the next step is the vaccination, which is pretty much a way to measure how many people have this induced immunity. We need to get to, the numbers vary now. I've seen them vary between 50% of the population has to have antibodies to the virus, to 70%. And you know, the number goes back and forth a little bit. So let's take the middle ground, 60% plus the population needs to have some type of immunity to the virus.
Okay, well, and I am assuming that that's what this coronavirus vaccine would hopefully provide for people. And of course, the Trump administration wants you to get this vaccine. Dr. Fauci wants you to get this vaccine. But the Democrats have done a very good job of saying, well, I'm not going to trust anything that happens during the Trump administration because the Trump administration can't be trusted. They're saying now they don't trust the FDA. Cuomo said that as well, that he wants to do his own testing for this vaccine. And then you have other people like President-elect Biden potentially saying that he wants to give this vaccine to 330 million Americans. Is that meaning forced vaccinations? And the truth of the matter is we don't have any information on what this vaccine is about. We know that you got to keep it really cold. We know that you need to get it probably 2 times. And we know that according to Pfizer and Moderna, it's 94 to 95% effective. But what does that mean for the average American who has to make a decision? Am I going to get this shot or am I not?
For the average American, it means that they have to do their homework. This is a very important decision. It's a life, could be for some folks, such as older folks like myself, folks with predisposing conditions, there could be a life and death decision. So folks have to do their homework, as you have done, obviously. What this all means is that there is a vaccine out there. It will most likely be 90 percent effective, I believe, as we usually see from as things translate from a clinical trial to an actual clinical situation, plus or minus 5%, probably minus 5%. So anywhere from 85 to 95% effective in coverage. And the distribution issue is one that concerns me a lot more than the effectiveness of the vaccine or even the safety of the vaccine. The companies that are developing this vaccine, except for Moderna, which is kind of new in the area, the companies that are by and large developing this vaccine, they've been doing it for generations. Pfizer goes back to the early 1950s when they came up with the first oral salt vaccine for polio. So they have a lot of experience, not only in developing them, but manufacturing them carefully and to a great level of purity, and then distribution for these vaccines, which is the next important thing. What about
the potential side effects? Because no one has really discussed the potential side effects. And the one thing that I fear is people will start getting this and you may have a small percentage, maybe it's 1%, 2% that have a very negative side effect. And then people are going to politicize that point immensely. And they're either going to blame Trump, they're going to blame the FDA, they're going to blame a myriad of things. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily be fair, but I also don't know that any of us really know the truth of what the potential side effects are of this.
That's an excellent point. We often see in clinical practice where you have a drug coming out with XYZ side effects. Right now, it's just mild to moderate discomfort, some headaches, particularly with the second injection, when your immune system is all geared up and doing things that you get, you know, a little bit more pronounced to these local or flu-like symptoms or headaches. But that's about it. But you're absolutely correct. When you inoculate 100 million people, and you have a side effect that is at 0.01%, you're still going to get 3 million people possibly getting that side effect. So we have to be very, very diligent. Now, what these companies are doing is that they have ongoing safety monitoring and evaluation for these vaccines. That's something that you see as a very common practice. I am quite sure that the FDA will be on top of it. And so all these companies, they are used to these massive data collection and reporting systems. And I do believe, I haven't seen it, but I would hope that FDA is requiring ongoing epidemiologic surveillance of the side effects and safety of the product. The other is the first several million doses. There's going to be 50 million doses from Pfizer, which is to vaccinate about 25 million folks. They'll be watched very, very carefully. And I'm sure that our military folks are going to be amongst the first to be vaccinated for a lot of reasons. They'll be watched very, very carefully and they'll be reporting on. So we'll be gradually accumulating data up until the point of around February or so, when we see vaccines going into folks like you, younger, healthy adults. And there'll be a database of experience in older folks. But still, the need for vigilance is extremely important. The ball game isn't over. We're near the seventh inning stretch and we're seeing light at the end of this tunnel, but the ball game's not over yet.
I guess I just to preface this, I personally am someone who is pro-vaccination, but even I, as someone who is very pro-vax, I have a question about this vaccine and even the necessity of it. And I know many of our viewers do as well, simply because SARS, which is what this is, it's a strain of SARS. When the SARS epidemic happened in 2002, we didn't really get a vaccine and it ultimately really ended up dying out. And to take this even further, the SARS coronavirus is really just a form of the common cold. It sounds like we've made a vaccine for a strain of SARS and the common cold, which is from a scientific perspective, glory hallelujah, we're just advancing every single day. And I can appreciate that. But at the same time, why is that even necessary? Especially when you see survival rates at 99%. Are we creating a cure for a problem that doesn't ultimately exist? Because right now, if you try to find just generic flu data, like how many people have gotten the flu in the US, you can't find that data. And to me, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I get that question an awful lot. And when I first saw the pathophysiology, the way that this virus affects the entire physiology of the body. My son is a physician in town and does a lot of work with older folks with COVID. I said there's something unusual about this virus. It not only just attacks your lungs, but it attacks it in a very vicious way that causes what we call the cytokine storm, which causes the lungs to fill up with fluid in a very, very rapid way. That is one of the things that are causing death. We also see that it affects the coagulation system. We see that it affects the kidneys, the renal system. We see that it affects the heart. We have some evidence to suggest that it affects the brain, this loss of taste, loss of smell that many people report in early signs of the of infection. We are also seeing this tremendous malaise, which is not uncommon in viruses. But when I saw this unusual cluster of symptoms, and now we're seeing some secondary effects that are lasting a long time in individuals who have recovered from the pulmonary part, but still have some of these other side effects, if you will, of the virus. So I think this, I can't say categorically, because I would be doing a disservice, but also knowing the genesis of how this virus came to be let out onto the world, there's something unusual about it. So I do think we're not dealing with something that's the common flu or the common cold. And I do sincerely believe, after looking at all of this and seeing patients, that there is a real, real need to be extremely careful about getting this under control and trying to eliminate it.
I do agree with you about that. But then here's the other perplexing thing. And I don't mean to be argumentative. I genuinely want to know. I have one friend who is battling COVID right now, and he does have comorbidities. And it's been very bad for him, being on a ventilator, double pneumonia in the lungs. The governor of the state of Nevada also has COVID currently, and he says he just has the sniffles. And so that is very, very perplexing, how one person can get it and it's like, I don't even notice I have it. Other people get it, they're not even showing symptoms. And then some people get it and they're landing in the hospital on a ventilator. I have never known in my life, and of course I'm not a doctor, a virus that is so picky that it picks this person and it's really bad. It doesn't pick this person and it's not so bad. And one that also, and this is commentary that Governor Newsom says, God, if you get it after 10 p.m. at night, it's a real, real problem, because it knows 10 p.m. at night. And it definitely knows if you're at Walmart or if you're at a mom and pop. That is ridiculousness. But can you at least address some of that confusion? Because it honestly doesn't make any sense, and it makes people doubt this even more.
Yes, that's a very real perception folks have. There are a lot of things that go into making the stew that is an infection. It's your innate immunocompetence. It could be that you have had vaccines against the SARS-like or flu viruses all your lifetime. You built up a little bit different, a little bit better immunity. It depends on your age. Older folks do not respond as well to immunologic challenges as younger ones. We all know that even just a common flu vaccine has to be given in a double dose for persons over 65. And that's because you got to get there. You got to wake up their immune system, just like a lot of parts of us. It also has a lot to do with how much of the viral, what we call simplistically the viral load, which is how much of the virus can get into you. Think about breathing in a little bit of a noxious aroma, and then thinking about sticking your head in a basin of an ammonia, household cleaning ammonia. Very, very different sort of impact on your body and how your lungs respond. Same for a microbiologic infection. The viral load. So you might have just come in contact with a little bit of it, and then your immune system is very good and responds very quickly, and you have mild to moderate symptoms, and you wouldn't even know. Or you might have been exposed to a huge slug of it somehow or other, and that makes a big difference. So you have this whole continuum of effects based on the viral load, based on your own innate immune capacity, and then based on your underlying medical history. As to this notion about curfews, I must tell you, I simply don't understand it either. Because if you have a business that can accommodate 100 people a day, if you tell them they have to accommodate those people from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., you're going to have more people running through there and hence have a higher density of individuals, which leads to increased chances of contaminating or, you know, infecting, as opposed to keeping over from 8 to 10 or 8 to 11 or 8 to 2. So it would make sense just from a pure logical standpoint that it would spread out hours. You would allow people to be open longer hours, but control the amount of the number of individuals that would go into a particular place of business at a time. I cannot explain it. I can only explain things that I understand, but I don't understand where this notion of contracting hours and causing denser populations makes any bit of sense to this old man.
Right. And that's what's so interesting, because you are a science advisor. So science is really what you're all about. And I guess the confusing part has been governors all over the country have basically been throwing spaghetti at the wall to see if it sticks. And it's like, well, I'm going to do a curfew. Well, I'm going to say, don't do Thanksgiving. I'm going to say you can't go to a restaurant. And there's no scientific data that I have seen that verifies any of this. In fact, there is no scientific data that says New York should not have kids in school. The scientific data says the safest place for kids is school. And yet everybody is defying it. And we're also, and I know we're running out of time, but I want to talk to you about this as well. We're seeing that hospitalizations are way, 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 way up. And I admit that. That is a fact. Hospitalizations are up. But it's not because of freaking COVID. So here's my problem. We have spent a year of freaking people out about COVID, and they have been delaying surgeries. They've been delaying basic care. They're delaying mammograms. They're delaying getting their vaccines. They're delaying everything. The science is telling us right now that what we've been doing is literally causing a bigger health crisis than this alleged COVID-19 public health crisis. Would you agree, disagree? Do you want to take me to task on that one? What do you say?
It's even more complicated than that. I have seen hospitals cutting back on staff because they haven't been allowed to bring in so-called elective procedures, and that hurts their bottom line, their revenue stream. So it is, and I've seen some reports talking about, well, we just don't have the staff to cope with this. Well, that may be because they've furloughed staff because they're trying to maintain their bottom lines. Hospitals, believe it or not, are a business, and they do what businesses do. I would hope that that's not being done to the point of safety. Your other point is extremely well taken. The Men's Health Network is very, very concerned about the adverse impact that this is going to have on the caseload of everything from uncontrolled diabetes to heart failure to psychiatric disorders, mental health. We're seeing a tremendous amount of stress, increase in alcohol consumption, increase in drugs of abuse. Increase in just depression and anxiety. Men have the highest rates of suicide in this country. It's just a horrible shame. A lot of people are looking at this, and we're all familiar with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We're now seeing what I think is COVID traumatic stress disorder, and that's going to also tax the hospital system. So I think that there may be a little bit of creative accounting going on when we see that our hospitals are at capacity or near capacity, because it's basically been 10 months, 11 months since people have been treated for all of these other very serious medical conditions that require treatment. And people still fall. People still have accidents. People still burn themselves. People still get other infections. So those folks also need to be taken care of. And part of the problems we've always had a hospital bed and hospital staff shortage in this country, particularly in rural areas.
Yes.
Nevada is one of those states where there's little pockets of, you know, intensity. So I think that this is just, if there's anything we learned about what not to do, we're going to learn it from looking at the COVID experiment. And the good scientists will sit down after we've gotten this under control and say, what do we need to do in terms of addressing underlying conditions, particularly in African-American men who suffer tremendous amount of hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. What are we going to do about hospital supplies? What are we going to do about products that are safe and effective, made in an environment that has good regulation? So that's one of the hopeful things that we'll do after we get past this terrible, terrible scourge.
I know we're running out of time in this commercial block, but I know you said you might now be able to join me for an exclusive interview at the, in the noon hour. So I'll ask you more questions then, but I have two more I want to get in this block if I can. Yesterday, the top pathologist from Canada, Dr. Roger Hodgkins, told government officials in Alberta during a Zoom conference call that coronavirus, the crisis, is the greatest hoax ever perpetuated on an unsuspecting public. What do you think of a comment like that?
He says the greatest hoax.
It's the greatest hoax ever perpetuated on an unsuspecting public.
Well, I don't think it's a hoax for the reasons I hope I explained earlier on. There's something unusual about this virus, and you must be very careful. Millions of lives are. I think the possible danger has been from overplaying it in the hands of the media, where they, on the one hand, say we're going to listen to the scientists, but what they're really saying, even a good gentleman like Mario Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, they're listening to the scientists they want to listen to. So they all have a little bit of selective hearing. My job is to help people understand how to make their own decisions, because it's not, it's complicated, but it's not impossible for a normal average person of average intelligence to understand this. But I do think the hoax is how it's been treated in the media. I love watching the Weather Channel. I really do. I think they're great, but I nicknamed it the W, the Worry Channel, because no matter what the weather is, there's always something to worry about. If it's sunny and bright 90% of the day and you get a little rain, they tell you to be careful and worry, your car might skid on a light, wet pavement. So I think it's that sort of mentality about these. If you're not giving something to for somebody to worry about, they're not going to be paying attention to your messages. And I think that's the hoax. So I would agree with, I'm not sure what the gentleman meant, but in terms of messaging, that has been full of bad stuff.
And it's, and the media is 110% to blame. I agree. So some rapid fire questions for you. Do you think you'll get the vaccine?
Yes.
You will get, do you think children should get it?
Under 12, there haven't been a lot of studies in children under 12, and I don't think they really need it. If, unless they have other conditions, children do have diabetes, children are immunocompromised, children do have pulmonary infections and conditions such as asthma and such. So, you know, there are other circumstances where individuals under 16 should be considered for vaccination.
Now, we're not going to have too much time to talk about this, but I do know one of your expert levels of expertise is also about with prescription drugs. And while we've been talking, the president has been addressing the nation the first time in quite some time. He was talking about the election situation and the recount there, but now he's talking about some reforms that he is making when it comes to prescription drugs. It seems like the prescription drug world is changing by the moment, their availability, their affordability. In light of COVID, what are you seeing with prescription drugs? Are they going to become more affordable? What changes are happening there? What do you think of what the Trump administration has been able to do when it comes to the world of prescription drugs here in the last 2 minutes?
It's a mixed bag. On the one hand, I think they've done some very positive things to help build the infrastructure so we have a safer, more secure drug supply in the United States, and Men's Health Network supports that, building up fine chemical companies such as Kodak is very, very important. But then on the other hand, I think that this whole notion of government mandated pricing structures is ill-advised. I think it's an attempt to make good on an important campaign promise. Men's Health Network certainly wants to see drug prices be brought into, you know, line. But we are also concerned that if it's done in a way that's been proven in many other sectors not to work, or work just for a short period of time, it's going to hurt innovation. And face it, we would be looking at a very, very different scenario if the pharmaceutical industry didn't have the deep pockets and resources to do what they've just done.
All right, Doctor, we'll continue this conversation a little bit after noon. All of my subscribers can get access to that interview by going to michellemortensen.com and becoming a subscriber today. No matter what, it feels like we're in dire straits in America, and that's why we're listening to some Dire Straits here today. Don't you love when I make the music work like that? I do love it. We're also going to talk about, have you reached your prime? Because there's a specific age when you reach your prime. And why on earth is cancel culture coming after Rudolph? Plus, Pizza Hut may have the gift you've always wanted for Christmas, but now you can't get it. Oh my gosh, we're going to talk about that and so much more. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a little bit. Enjoy Dire Straits till the commercial begins.
How many times has this happened to you? You're driving with your purse, your laptop bag, your grocery bag, or your backpack in the seat next to you, and it's on the floor after you stop or hit a quick turn. Well, we experienced this issue too, and we created a solution. Introducing Bagmodo, an easy-to-install, one-step process that fits seamlessly under any standard headrest and stores securely under the headrest. Bagmodo becomes a natural extension of your vehicle and helps stop your stuff from falling on the floor. Now you can secure your items systematically and effortlessly, keeping you from being a distracted driver, which, let's face it, is a huge problem these days. Bagmodo is the ultimate driver-centric product that doesn't distract drivers and helps keep everyone in the vehicle safe. For more information, bagmodo.com. That's bagmodo.com. Bagmodo, the easy-to-install, one-step process to stop your stuff.
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101. Or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. Ladylikeclothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at ladylikeclothing.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learn about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on the Michelle Mortensen Show.
Saving money on your car insurance is easy with the team at InsureWise. The agents at InsureWise can find you the best coverage at the lowest price, something the corporate guys just can't do. Great rates await on your car, home, life, and business insurance. Don't pay too much for insurance. Be wise and get InsureWise. Call 702-620-4825. That's 702-620-4825. InsureWise, the only wise choice for all your insurance needs.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen.
I love this movie. I really do. I think it's the best. We even have it on DVD. I think maybe even Blu-ray. But once again, Rudolph is in the crosshairs of cancel culture. This happens almost every year. People say, you know what, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer, shouldn't be watched because it really does promote bullying. Yeah, those other reindeers, they bullied poor Rudolph. And that's just unacceptable. We cannot show our kids bullying. But hold up. Wait a minute. Who watches freaking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and says, God, I really like the bad reindeers that beat up Rudolph. Man, they're my favorite. I want to be just like them. No one. Rudolph actually shows that when you've got something unique about you, it means that you're special. Rudolph goes over to the Land of Misfit Toys and tells a bunch of misfits, hey, you've got purpose. I mean, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is something that we should all be applauding, in my opinion, yet cancel culture just wants to come out and cancel it, just like cancel culture always does. Hate that. Hate that. Speaking of the holidays, you know, next week, a week from today, you might be doing some Black Friday shopping and you may want to get a weighted blanket. I mean, weighted blankets, they're pretty hot. They're pretty awesome. In fact, Pizza Hut has a really interesting weighted blanket. I don't know. I don't know if you've seen this. I'm going to show you a picture of it. Get ready to like lose your mind here because Pizza Hut has come up with the pizza weighted blanket. Look at that sucker. Here's the amazing part. Pizza Hut came out with this. It's $150 a pop and it sold out within minutes. I think it was like 12 minutes. People bought this dumb blanket because, you know, there's nothing more that I want in life than to sit on my couch with a freaking pizza weighted blanket. See, people have lost their minds. Now, maybe I'm just old and I don't get it. I mean, that could be the case. I'm not that old though. In fact, I'm still in my prime, allegedly, because there was a new study that was done that says, when are you finally like out of your prime? When are you old? When does that happen? Well, they say that the average American is kind of past their prime once they hit the ripe old age of 47. That 47 is when things start to hurt. That 47 is when you're not so cute anymore. That 47 is that magic number. Oh my God, that really freaks me out because I am not 47, but I've entered the decade that does start with the number 4. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. But God, I don't want, you know, to be past my prime here very, 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 very soon. But maybe that's my problem that, you know, I don't get it. But I think I've got a lot of problems because I'm a freedom loving American who wants more freedom and thinks you should want more of it too. So that's why I'm one of these people who says, you know what, I'm going to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm going to go and do what I'm going to do. I'm going to fight for what the pilgrims fought for. They came over all over the Atlantic Ocean, landed at Plymouth Rock to get freedom. So you know what? I'm going to celebrate freedom. And I think you should too. So I don't know if you're planning on traveling this holiday season. I don't know if you're going to have a big old turkey. I don't know what your plans are, but I do hope that you have a fantastic Thanksgiving season because you should. And at the end of the day, nothing the CDC recommends is set in stone. It is not set in stone. It is not law and it is not a mandate. And many people say airplanes are the safest place for you to fly. And that's why my closing song for the night, you know, I always have a closing song and I always try to make it work. So I'm bringing back your 90s angst. See, I'm a kid of the 90s. So I had to bring some Foo Fighters. It was going to be Stone Temple Pilots, but then I chose Learn to Fly. Why? Because it's got the great airline scene and it's super funny and many of you may be on airplanes this weekend. So we're going to close out with that. I do want to remind everyone, as we got there with the cars and got a little louder in my ear. I want to remind everyone that we're going to do more with Dr. Sal, talking about the vaccine, talking about prescription drugs. If you're a subscriber at michellemortensen.com, you're going to get access to that interview today. Your monthly support is what keeps us on the air, so please consider subscribing if you're not. Also, big shout out to my team. Can't do this show without Spencer. Can't do this show without Danny. Can't do this show without Lauren. I've got the most amazing team in the industry, and I'm so grateful for them, and I am very, very grateful and thankful for you. You guys have given me just an amazing opportunity here. I've loved being on your TV screens for 20 years now. I love being someone that you vote for in elections, and I love being your voice of reason, your conservative voice of reason now. It is my true and honest pleasure to serve you, so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the support. My rant on Governor Sisolak line went completely viral, shared hundreds and hundreds of times. We are getting the truth and information out there, and it is huge. All right, my friends, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. I'm going to see you back here on Monday when we got Kaya Jones back with us. and so much more. So stay with us. Have a great Friday and enjoy the song.
Give it all away if you give me one last try. We'll live happily ever trapped if you just save my life. Run and tell the angels that everything's alright.